Well, good morning. James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4. I have been reminded about tip-off time today. So thank you. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. I want to speak today about spiritual recession. In the economic world, in the financial world, recession is a word that sends kind of a chill down our spine when we hear it. When we lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I got a job down there in banking, worked for American National Bank in Chattanooga. And when we would have our department meetings and everything, they would define recession by a downturn in two quarters of kind of inactivity and financial activity or withdrawal or whatever. And so that would be their definition of financial recession. But it would certainly get to everybody's attention when in our meetings they would talk about that. And it is a concern. It's a concern personally even today, you know, when we hear the word, because we think about, well, how is that going to affect, you know, my finances? When we talk about recession, the Democrats blame Republicans, Republicans blame Democrats, so there's enough blame to go around for all that. Now, what I want to talk about, though, is spiritual recession. And I'm going to give you three reasons for spiritual recession this morning. And really what spiritual recession is, it is a lack of spiritual activity in our life. It's a downturn of spiritual activity in our life. And so we're going to see these examples that James talks about here this morning. The key takeaway that I want you to have today is this, that real faith lives every day surrendered to the will of God. And so every day we surrender His will. We understand that we need to say, if the Lord's will, as James says, this is what we're going to do or not do. There's a real estate developer by the name of Larry Silverstein. He lived in New York City. He always had a desire to own the Twin Towers. And that was his goal in life, to own the Twin Towers. About 2 months prior to 9/11, this financial person, this real estate person that I'm talking about, he negotiated a deal to buy the Twin Towers for $3.2 billion. 6 weeks before 9/11, he signed a 99-year lease on the Twin Towers, and he obtained possession of those towers. 6 weeks later, he saw the fall of the Twin Towers. Two hijacked jets slammed into those buildings. And his whole dream, his whole goal in life, his financial investment fell in a matter of 6 weeks. What we're talking about today is not knowing about tomorrow. And that's what James is talking about here today. And so what he says here is that we need to live every day, surrender to the will of God, because we do not know what another day may bring forth. Now, what are the reasons for a spiritual downturn in our life? See, a spiritual downturn is when we make plans without God. In other words, we think that we're in control rather than God. We say, well, I'm going to do this or do that or go here, go there. And we don't include God in our life. There is a term that's been tossed about today. And this term is called, it defines one as being a practical atheist. You say, what in the world is a practical atheist? A practical atheist is a person who believes in God, but he lives as though there is not God. There's no God. And so when a spiritual downturn happens in our life, and we enter this spiritual recession in our life, then rather than living the life of a believer, we're living the life of a practical atheist, because we don't include God in our plans. We think that we're in control. We don't give any thought about tomorrow, and all it is about, you know, us being in control of our lives. And so James speaks that issue. But what I want to talk about this morning is why. Why would it be that as believers that we would get to a point of living our life that way? Well, first of all, in verses 13 and 16, he talks about these foolish presumptions. And the reason they're foolish is because in the illustration here, he gives us the illustration of a man who really ignores God. Now, here's a person who believes in God, but he's ignoring God. He's living his life ignoring God. And the illustration that he uses here is the illustration of a businessman. Now, there's nothing wrong with the plans that the businessman is making, because he's making plans to what he's going to do, you know, down the road. He's making plans about what he's going to do tomorrow, where he's going to go. He's making travel arrangements. He's doing all this stuff he needs to do. The problem is not in what he's doing and making his plans. The problem is found in what he is not doing. The problem is not what is found in James's illustration, but the problem is what is not found in James' illustration. Where is God in his plans? He's talking about this, he's talking about that, he's talking about what he's going to do, and so he's just ignoring God in his life. Proverbs 27:1 is a verse that speaks to this, and here's what that verse says. Boast not of tomorrow, for you do not know what another day may bring forth. Yesterday is just a memory. It is gone. The only time we have is the time we have today and the time we have in these moments together. So here's an illustration, just a very practical illustration of making a presumption, a foolish presumption that leads to a spiritual downturn in our life when we make all these plans, but we never think about God. We never say, God, show me your will. We never ask the question, is this God's will for my life? If it is God's will, then I'll go to the city for, a certain time, and I'll do a certain thing, and I'll do a certain job and all that. So where is God in all this? So the foolish thing that we do many times is this, that leads to a spiritual downturn in our life, is when we presume without taking in consideration God. The fallacy here in this passage is simply this. There's no consideration given for the consequences of sin. You see, you can ignore God. You can believe in God. You can reject God. But the choice is yours and the choice is mine. So there's consequences with all that. And so when we plan our lives without God, and we make plans and ignoring God and not considering Him, what James says is this, we need to consider the consequences of that. This businessman, he didn't consider the consequences of that. Number two, here in verse 14, there are forgotten perspectives. And what he's talking about here is personal perspectives. Our perspectives on life, how we look at things. And so James says this, here's what we need to remember. We need to remember that our life is just like a vapor. A vapor is something that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. I started looking at the metaphors in the Bible that describes life, and I was just really taken back by the many metaphors there, but vapor is one. Another metaphor that I found was a shadow. The Bible says in Psalm that our life is just a shadow. So that got my attention. So there's a lot of those metaphors that speak of the brevity of life. It speaks of the idea that our life really, is limited when we look at it in that way. So here in this illustration, what he's talking about here is really a person that forgets about God's will. In the first illustration, that person really ignored God's will. He knew it, but he ignored it. Here, this person knows God's will, but he just forgets all about it, and he makes all these presumptions about his life. Now, there's two things about life that I want to talk about. Number one is this. Life has its uncertainties, but life also has its certainties. The uncertainties of life is what he's speaking of here, about our life being a vapor. There's a lot that we don't know about the future. There's a lot we don't know about tomorrow. There's a lot we don't know about even late this afternoon. So there's a lot of uncertainties in life. So that's a fact of life. But the certainty of life that he's talking about here is this, that one day our life on this earth will end. That is a certainty of life. And he uses this metaphor here of this vapor, how it appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. So who is in control? Certainly we're not in control, but God is in control. Let me give you a personal illustration. My house, Nancy is in control of the alarm clock. I control the remote. That's a compromise, is what you call it. But anyway, she gets up early enough, and then, about 5:30, 6 o'clock, she wakes me up, and that's my alarm clock. I heard this story one time. This is not us, okay? This is what I heard. This husband and wife had kind of gotten this disagreement. And so what he decided he was going to do was to give his wife the silent treatment. I know that never happens to you all, but that's, he was going to give her the silent treatment. If you've been married, you know what that is. But anyway, he decided he was going to do that. And so he had to catch a flight the next day to go on a business trip. So he wasn't going to talk to his wife because she controlled the alarm clock. She always got him up. And so he just left this note. He said, "Wake me up at 5 a.m. And he just left it by her bedside. Well, the next morning he woke up and he looked at the clock. It was 9 o'clock. He had missed his flight. He got all excited about it. But then he found a note by his bedside. She had written out these words, "It's 5 o'clock, it's time to wake up." You know what he discovered? He wasn't in control, okay? Now, God's in control. And so that's what the Bible is saying to us here. On the perspectives that we need to have in life, God is in control. So here's what he says. We should say, "If the Lord wills." And so really it's wrong to plan things without God. So he's speaking here of personal perspectives. Now, there's another thought here that I want to talk about. Third thought is this. Another reason for a spiritual reversal in our life, a spiritual recession or spiritual downturn in our life, is forsaken priorities. What should our priorities be? What should our personal priorities be? So here again, the illustration in verse 15 and 17, he talks about God's will and he talks about God's way. And so in our priorities, we need to include God's will and we need to include God's way. God has a will for all of us. For example, as the Bible says in 1 Peter, it's God's will that we be saved. So if you haven't followed Christ, then this morning God's will for you is to be saved, to follow Him and be a believer. So God has a will for us. God has a way for us. And so God's will and God's way is found in the Bible. Now, I want you to see how James illustrates this. And the way he illustrates God's will and God's way is in verse 16, verse 17, really, is where it is. And here's what he says. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. So I want you to think about that. What God is saying here is that we need to have our spiritual priorities in line with His way and His will. Now, where we get off is this. Sometimes we sin by not doing the good we know we need to do. Other times we can sin by doing the bad that we know that we should not do. And so what's talked about here many times is sins of omission and sins of commission is the way it's explained many times. But here in this example, that's what he's saying. It's knowing to do the right thing and not doing it. To him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. In other words, when we know that we make foolish presumptions, we shouldn't do that. If we know that we have forgotten perspectives, we should not do that. If we know that we have forsaken priorities, you know, we should not do that. And so again, James here is speaking to believers. He's talking to people who believe in God, people who follow God and everything like that, and they know to do good, but they're not doing it. So here's what it is. See, if I know to do God's will, and I know what His will is, and I don't do that, His will is a good thing for my life, His way is a good thing for my life, and I don't do that, then he says that is a sin. So that is the way that he talks about it here. So, for example, knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ is a good thing. Hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to give us salvation, to forgive us eternal life, that's a good thing. But James says, what are you going to do about that? You see, it's not enough just to know what Jesus did for us. It's not enough just to know that He died on the cross for our sin. What are we going to do about that? And so, if you look at it here, the greatest sin here that one could commit would be not doing what we know we need to do with Jesus Christ. Jesus gave a parable one day and He said this. He said there's a man who was going to build barns and he was going to build greater and store up his goods and everything and all that. And Jesus said, you've done a foolish thing. You've made all these plans. You haven't included me in it. You haven't followed me. You haven't believed in me. And he says, today your soul will be required of you. And so that's the serious tone of this. And that's where the consequences of our actions can catch up with us. If we presume, if we have these forgotten perspectives, if we forsake the priorities that we know we need to have, then that's the ultimate way all this could catch up with us. I tried to write this down in a cycle, and here's the cycle that I came up with. And I want you to notice this. First of all, there's presumption. We think we can call the shots. We think we can make our plans without God. Then the second step in the cycle is pride. We think nobody can stop us or nobody can tell us what we can do. We're the master of fate. We're the captain of our soul. We're in control of all this. So pride comes in and, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And then the pride and presumption, the third step in the cycle, it really does lead to procrastination. And what the procrastination does is to put off the decisions we know we need to make. Now, as a believer today, if you know what God's will is for your life and you're not doing that, then why are you not doing that? And so let's bring it home to where we all are today. So how do we bring a passage like this home? Well, as a believer, if I know that it is God's will for me to do something and I don't do that, then I need to get that lined up with God's priority for my life. I need to be doing His will, His way. For example, if you have been saved and you become a believer in Jesus Christ and you have not been baptized, then it is God's will for you to be baptized. I mean, that's just a very simple way to understand it. So whatever it is God's will or way is for your life, as a believer, if you know what that is and you're not doing it, then you need to do that. And I need to do that in my life. On the other hand, another way really to look at it is this. As a person, as an individual, if I know about Jesus, and I've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I've never believed in Him or come to Him to follow Him and trust Him, then why not? Don't presume about tomorrow. Don't have priorities out of line. Don't, have these ideas about what we're going to do without God. Because James says this, sooner or later, that will catch up with you. And there are consequences to that. If you fly in small planes, you know how important radar is. Bill Hybels is a preacher that I know and I've talked to. And I heard him give this illustration one time. He talked about being in a plane where the pilot, he thought he could make it without radar and being in touch with the tower and all that kind of thing. He said we hit bad weather and we really got in trouble. And he said the plane almost crashed. And he said we were flying blind. But he said the pilot knew what he knew. He knew what he should have been doing, but he didn't do it. And he got off track. And he got off focus. Many times as a believer, when we find ourselves in a spiritual downturn, we find ourselves in a spiritual recession. And we find ourselves where maybe the interest in God and God's will, God's way is not where it needs to be. Then at that point in our life is when we really need revival. We really need to change our focus and we really need to change the direction of our life. And James says we need to do it today. This morning during invitation time, what is God's will for you? What do you know that you need to do? I would encourage you to do it today. Why? Because we're not promised tomorrow. If you need Jesus, today's the day. Now's the time. As believers, whatever it takes in our life to change that direction of that spiritual downturn in our life, we need to make those corrections today. And that's what James is talking about. Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for this passage that we've talked about today. This passage today is very simple. James uses illustrations here that we all understand. We all know there's nothing really here hard to understand about what he's saying. But dear God, today I just pray that our priorities would be in line with you. I pray today that our perspectives in life would be in line with you. I pray that our presumptions that we make about life would be in line with your will and your way for our lives. Father, it's really not hard to get to a place of a spiritual downturn in our life for whatever reason. It's neglect. Sometimes it's the things that we just ignore. At times we just forget about including you in our plans. And Lord, that's just things that happen. But Father, I pray that we would come back to where we need to be. And we would get lined up with where you want us to be. And all that is revival. That's what it is. Father, I pray for that person today who needs to come and trust Christ. That person today who needs to follow the gospel invitation today to come and believe in you. I pray today that they would take that step and make that commitment today to believe in Jesus Christ as personal Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.